Welcome back, my dear friends. Let us begin with the invocation. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the messenger, the spirit of guidance. Let us rest in our breath. Discover our breath's rhythm, as it is expressed today, right now. And as we rest in our breath in our own natural rhythm, we allow our breath to carry us down to our gravitational center, down on our belly, we can imagine this as being our anchor. And from there, from this center, let us connect with each other. During the day, let us remember this connection. Let us concentrate on our breath again. Amen. So welcome once more to the International Energetia Healing Retreat. My name is Amina, I come from Greece. In the morning we had a beautiful attunement by Inger, who comes from Denmark. We are a group of many and diverse people. For many years before the pandemic, we used to meet in a different city in Europe each year. This fact made many people to think that this is a European company. But it is not. We are very happy to belong to this big, diverse family. Different languages, different cultures, different histories, different outlooks. We don't see this as a hindrance, as an obstacle. We see it as our main strength. Like a bouquet of flowers. That only becomes more beautiful because it has so many different flowers in it. Or like our hand that has different sizes of fingers. Our differences only enrich us. We sincerely hope that this family will grow larger to include members from neighboring countries and even continents. Our beautiful company, our beautiful group of friends, goes as far as Pakistan, where an invaluable member of the Energetia Healing community is doing a great job there and has contributed a lot in our individual and group development. We do hope to meet again in person. It's been a bit more than 2 years that we have this pandemic. These 2 years for many people felt like a century. I hear people saying it's been 3 years. No, it's been 4 years. So many people get confused. It's only been 2 years. What happened during those 2 years on a global and personal level? So many things that we've only just started to record. Moral and political dilemmas have emerged or have become more pressing. Do we protect the health of the individual people, or do we care for the economy of a country? Whom do we choose to save in an intensive care unit? Do we use the rules of war surgery medicine, as they call it? How about social inequalities and the treatment of the less privileged? Do we value life over the respect of our political and social rights? What should be the most appropriate state practices? Do we impose vaccination or not? And much, much more dilemmas. We were also forced to make some difficult realizations. About the contingency, the unexpectedness of life. About finitude, to be finite. Fragility. Fear being transformed into an existential anxiety. Suddenly, so many things have changed. Most notably, the relationship with our bodies has changed. The relationship with other bodies has changed. What psychologists call touch hunger has become more intense. And since in many respects we are our bodies, the only way we can experience spirituality is through our bodies. And that means that our relationship with our spirituality has changed. And if this was not enough, we have the threat of our extinction due to global warming. And on top of this, we have a war in our continent. If this sounds like a handful, it's because it is. And all of the above have created what we now call a mental health tsunami. Anxiety, panic attacks, insomnia, post-traumatic stress, obsessive behaviors, depression, and a rise in suicide risk. Paranoia, rise in substance abuse, higher mental health risks for children, teenagers, the elderly, and health workers. The so-called FOGO, fear of going out. And of course, outbursts of racism and xenophobia, as well as an increase in domestic violence. Femicides and violence in general. As human beings, we are called to respond to this. As healers, we are called to respond to this. And if we see it as I described it, it looks very difficult. Because the thought of it all makes us lose our balance. But maybe for us who are following this spiritual path, it's a bit easier to find our balance. because we have been given certain tools. Once we use these tools to find our own balance, we can help other people to find theirs. Murshid says, in order to keep the health in perfect order, by the way, sorry, I'm coughing. We're having an African dust coming to Greece the last few days, and it's a bit heavy. Back to Murshid, in order to keep the health in perfect order, one must keep a balance between body and mind, between activity and repose, and in this, the psychological outlook of one's health. Which helps more than any medicine. And he goes on saying, the best medicine is a pure diet. Nourishing food, fresh air, regularity in action and repose. He keeps saying that. Clearness of thought, pureness of feeling, and confidence in the perfect being. With whom we are linked and whose expression we are. That is the essence of health. The more we realize this, he says, the more secure will be our health. The secret in healing, he tells us, is to rise by the power of belief above the limitations of this world of variety, that one may touch by the power of intelligence, the oneness of the whole being. It is there that one becomes charged with the almighty power, and it is by the power of attainment that one is able to help oneself. And others in their pain and suffering. Verily, he says, spirit has all the power there is. Concentrating on these words by Murshid. Already brings us back to our center. They sound so simple, so self-evident. But they're not. So when we are given directions, we were given directions to work during the pandemic. These directions actually echo Murshid's words. People talk about self-care strategies. Taking care of the body. And this is what they say, enough sleep, physical activity, eating healthy, etc. Avoid tobacco or alcohol or drug use. Limit screen time, relax and recharge. This is exactly what Murshid says in very practical terms. Or we are advised to take care of our mind by keeping a regular routine. Limit exposure to news media. Or find support in our spiritual life. Set our priorities right. And of course, connect with others, do something for others, support family members and friends. All these have been said by Murshid a century ago. And it's good to remember that in the midst of all problems we face, going back to the basics is always a good start. So in order to face today's challenges, a healer must try to maintain their balance. And understand that this is easier said than done. This is the way. So the healer must maintain their balance. Take care of their body and their mind and their heart. Maintain hope and faith. But there is also one more thing that a healer needs to develop. A very humble virtue. We don't talk about it very often. But as healers, we need to develop it. I'm talking about the virtue of patience. It is no accident that it is a wazifa. Wazifa known as a sabur. And it is the last wazifa in the 99 beautiful names of God. And that too is not accidental. God is patient. What does that mean? It means that God is not reactionary. It means that he, she is the one who can wait for the right moment. And what patience is all about. It's about acting on the right moment. We as humans are somehow programmed to react to stimuli. Usually we either fight a stimulus or we withdraw from the stimulus. There are other reactions as well, but these two are the most known to us. And this happens almost instinctively. We don't examine whether our reaction comes the right time or whether it is the appropriate reaction. And if we think about it, behind this way of being, lies the lack of faith. Because we don't believe there will be a right moment, we don't believe that things will progress. We don't accept that there is an evolution in how things work. We want to interfere with the flow. And make things happen. When we don't have patience, we are stressed and agitated. Because we believe that everything depends on us. We want to take control because we think we know better. Sometimes we do need to act, of course. But without patience, we don't know when it is the right time to act and how to act properly. We cannot discern, we cannot differentiate what is in our hands and what is not. Also, we take both ourselves and life too seriously. We don't see life as a place where we exist in order to pass through a series of tests. That will help us discover our deeper self. That will help us discover who we truly are, what we are made of. So we end up violating the flow of life. Creating a mess many times. And we also do that in our spiritual life. We think that our spiritual path is a course from darkness to light. That it is a linear path. Where from darkness we will reach the light. That's not what it is. It is a series of tests and difficulties, as in real life. It has drawbacks. We go back and then we go forward, and sometimes we go back again. We lose our faith on the way sometimes. Only to rediscover it deeper and deeper in us, only to find it stronger and stronger in us. In our spiritual path and in our path as healers, we have dark periods and we have light periods, luminous periods. And when things are fine and we're having a good life and everything is beautiful, then our faith is very strong and is not tested at all. But our faith and our trust is tested in difficult times, such as this. This is an opportunity. For us to understand ourselves better, for us to deepen our faith, for us to stand stronger for ourselves and for others. Action and repose, Murshid says. Which implies that we need to be patient enough to know when it is the right time to act. Let us work with that wazifa. Ya sabur. We will repeat it a few times. We begin. Ya sabur. 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 Okay. Fikra. Sabur on the inhale and the exhale. Fikrasia, we rest with the aftertaste of the practice. So the healer has many tools. To deal with life's difficulties. Tools to find balance. The healer can develop hope and faith and patience in themselves. The most basic tool a healer has is their breath. And we are going to work with our breath quite a lot. Today we will be guided by Lisa from Austria. Some breath practices. Later on today, we will have our sister from North America, Devi. Will explore with us how we can all work together as healers. In order to face today's challenges. And of course, we will have our beloved Bilzia. Tomorrow we will concentrate on a subject that is not discussed often in our healing. Either in the healing circles or in spiritual circles in general. But it is an important issue, especially nowadays. And this is the issue of anger. Anger. Being angry. And what, how we can manage anger. And we will be guided by Calbi from France. By Calbi from Norway. By Rahima from the Netherlands. And we will have an attunement and healing service by Kabir from Germany. But we will say these things tomorrow when time comes. For today, we will have Lisa, Devi, and our busy. For the time being, let us rest on our breath. The healer must first be able to take care of themselves. So we will recite Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi a few times. The divine healer, the divine medicine. And as we recite it, we bathe in this healing power. We begin. Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi. 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 We inhale Shafi, we exhale Kafi a few times. To cleanse our body, mind, and heart. Vikrasir, we rest with the aftertaste of the practice. Amen, amen, amen. We have a 15-minute break.